The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Huddle on Money FM 89.3. Well, looks like we are kicking off the week with Asian markets slightly underwater. To help us get a sense of where things are right now, let's get the bigger picture from Carl Roeder. He is the market strategist from IG, speaking to us from Australia. All right, looks like we are looking out for a lot of things to happen next year. Before we get into next year, help us to get a sense of where we are right now. How are we setting up for markets this week, especially when you look at record highs on Wall Street for S&P and S&P 500 and the Dow last Friday?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been trading activity, so it's always very difficult to infer, you know, what's noise and what signal at this time of the year. Traders are still away and, you know, probably enjoying their holidays for the most part. But, I mean, we're still seeing a lot of momentum in this particular market. We're still seeing markets seemingly price in a much better than expected fundamental outlook for the start of 2020. And, you know, you've got some of those reports coming out of the United States last week reflected in, you know, Amazon's commentary to the markets that US retail sector looks like it was fairly well supported by some pretty strong consumption over the Christmas period. So, I mean, it all adds to this sort of positive tailwind to the markets at the moment. Obviously, we started a little bit quiet today, but that's to be expected at this time of the year. But still, I mean, the positivity reigns, and we're obviously leading into a strong start to 2020 as well.
Yeah, Carl, so we've been hearing a lot about how Santa Claus might be coming to town, that Santa Claus rally. It seems like that is so far coming through to a certain extent. So the big question is, are these gains sustainable, especially when we go into 2020? Are you looking out for any further lift coming from anything down the line?
Well, I mean, I think what we're seeing now is a lot of momentum, chasing momentum in the market, just with valuations at the level that they are. I mean, if you start looking at sort of, you know, the markets have really seen quite a considerable run-up, you know, throughout Europe and the United States. We're getting to levels where in the past you'd be associated with maybe a little bit of a pullback, you know, when, you know, market conditions become robust again, traders get to their desk. I think what's really going to be the key feature of the first couple of months of trading in the new year is that we're going to have to start looking at really, I suppose, fundamental data and fundamental justification for prices in equities moving in the way that they are. And that's sort of, you know, looking at a rebound in, say, you know, Chinese economic data in particular, because, you know, the growth rebound this year, if it does occur, has to come out of China and the market's peripheral to the Chinese. But not only that, as we work towards the sort of February period, late January period of US earnings season, starting to see that prospect that we're at the bottom of this downgrading cycle for US earnings, and we're starting to see a bit of an upgrade come through. That's what the markets are anticipating, and that's obviously on the basis that accommodative monetary policy this year will start working its magic and the trade war risk has been diminished. But, you know, this momentum's probably going to fade as trade returns to normal at the start of 2020. And then we'll start to pick up once again once some of this fundamental data starts coming through, because really we haven't had fundamental justification yet. A lot of this is just sort of moving in advance of that.
Hey, Carl, so you were talking about how markets are setting up this week with a bit of optimism. I'm looking closer to home in Hong Kong. We are seeing protests again making the news, and so far more than 1,000 people gathered under rainy weather in a rally yesterday, and that comes one day after riot police arrested about a dozen protesters and used pepper spray to break up a gathering near the border district of Sheng Shui. So that is what we are looking at, and yesterday we also had a bit of a warning from Paul Chan, the financial secretary, that Hong Kong's economy is set to contract in the fourth quarter. So with that in the background, where does it leave the Hong Kong economy and the markets for 2020?
It's going to be incredibly tough, and more of it's going to be hinging, obviously, what happens in these protests and what effect it has on domestic fundamentals, because the macro outlook is looking reasonably strong, particularly for companies in Hong Kong that do most of their business offshore and generate most of their revenues offshore. You know, they're relatively shielded from, you know, some of the concerns that are occurring at the ground level, which is obviously affecting more consumption. You know, retail sales have obviously driven on this sort of recession that we're seeing in Hong Kong currently. So it's going to very much hinge on whether this risk that's going on in protests and the civil discord in Hong Kong can sort of diminish enough that what are still, you know, reasonably attractive valuations right now for Hong Kong stocks can start to be utilised. And I still remain that the risk rewards for the Hang Seng, for example, which is the futures contracted at IG, clients trade most, it's reasonably considerable upside to the Hang Seng index, just on the basis that valuations historically are incredibly attractive, and that Hong Kong, of all regions, is obviously going to stand from to benefit from reduced trade war risk being, you know, so sensitive.
And Carl, you mentioned reasonable upside. How much are we looking at?
impossible to quantify, but I mean, if you look at historical valuation, price to earnings, you're looking at the P&E last time I checked, 3 to 5% below the 10-year average. So it sort of says that, considering on that basis and with some of the risks geopolitically removed, there is a real upside skew to the risk in Hong Kong markets should this sort of global economic turnaround flow through. That applies to the Hang Seng just as much as it does to this, Straits Times Index. The KOSPI is a great example. Obviously, the thing that sets the Hang Seng apart right now is this. This domestic risk. I think the risk reward is still skewed to the upside. You'd be looking for a signal to buy in based on some of the reduction in this risk. Again, fundamentals are rather attractive, but you'd be waiting for some of this political discord to remove, because we won't get upside until that event. But I'd be more watching and waiting for an opportunity to jump in for an upside rally. These risks diminish, because at the moment, risk premium caused by this civil discord is really quite high. And once it is removed, I think there is a considerable opportunity for upside in Hong Kong stocks.
Now we're talking with Carl Roeder. He's the market strategist at IEG. Now, Carl, turning our attention to some of the numbers helping to lift optimism and sentiment right now is the China industrial profits that came in sometime last Friday. And we saw profits rise at the fastest pace in 8 months, up 5.4%. Give us your sense of what this means for the state of things in the Chinese economy and the state of export sector and, of course, market.
I think it's the first green shoots of the turnaround that probably got started, both in terms of the narratives out of the last Chinese data dump that we got middle of December, and it's that, more than just relief around the trade war, some of the stimulus that's coming from Chinese policymakers is actually starting to work in the Chinese economy. A lot of this stimulus has been targeted at, direct to consumer and the industrial sector in the Chinese economy. We saw that in that December data dump out of China last month, and it's starting to filter through now. So I think this is really the crux of the optimism, and it's twofold, is that policymakers across the globe have effectively thrown the kitchen sink wherever you look in the last 6 months at trying to restart their domestic economies. The real risk has obviously been uncertainty around the trade war, and I don't think the actual benefits of lower, obviously, tariffs and improved sentiment because of better relations between the US and Chinese has really shown up much in the fundamentals yet in China. So I think we've got a lot of pent-up demand in Chinese and the global economy. If we continue to see trade war risks remain to one side, we'll start to see that benefit starting to flow through as a bit of a tailwind to the Chinese economy too. And quite naturally, that'll be good for the global growth story. I don't think, just to probably pour some cold water on it, I don't think this is a 2015-2016 situation where we pretty much see a global growth rebound in a very, very strong global economy, mostly by virtue of Chinese policymaker stimulus being thrown at the Chinese economy, inundated and flowing through the global economy. But we will, I think, see a bit of this pent-up demand being unleashed in the first part of 2020. That industrial profit start is probably more indicative of that stimulus, and we'll still get this headwind through from lower trade tensions. So there's, I think, reason to be optimistic about the fundamental outlook, but it does go back to that point that we'll have to start watching the data now to see confirmation for that, both in the earnings front and the economic fundamentals from a macro point of view.
So it looks like those stimulus measures are starting to tick into effect in China. Carl, just to wrap things up for us, looking ahead on the calendar, a couple of things to look out for. What's on the top of your list? I've got some PMI numbers coming through from China and the FOMC minutes.
I mean, it goes back to both of those things, is that the two things that really drove markets this year in one direction was that the Fed basically expanded its balance sheet again and started cutting interest rates. So it's going to be very crucial for market participants to get as many green signals this year that the Fed will remain accommodative, effectively they'll keep interest rates on hold, which they more or less said at the last meeting. So that'll be looked for in those particular minutes. And the other thing too this year is what has been the major headwind is this manufacturing recession we saw across the globe. Its signs are now that we're seeing a bit of a pickup in global manufacturing activity. We're just going to want to see further confirmation of that. So that PMI data will be important to sort of gauge whether that upswing in manufacturing activity globally is still continuing.
All right. We're speaking of Carl Roeder. He's the market strategist at IEG. Carl, always great chatting with you. Have a great week.
Thank you very much for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.